This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari.
And welcome to Y-Space.
Yeah, got a lot going on in space this week. There's a comet in the sky. Hopefully people have had a chance to see it. Another Pan-STARRS comet. I think it's Pan-STARRS. Should be visible. Still, roughly, now if the moon gone, though it is
25 R3 Pan-STARRS.
Yeah, it's getting fainter though. So,
what does it mean, Pan-STARRS? What does that mean?
Well, we visited Pan-STARRS. Pan-STARRS is a bunch of telescopes on some big hills. In fact, one that we visited, which was on a very tall volcano in Hawaii on the island of Maui, a place called Haleakala. I can't remember what Pan-STARRS stands for, but basically, it's looking for near Earth objects. And it's very long. It's a very long abbreviation. And so what it does, because it's looking for near-Earth objects, it's basically a telescope and a series of network of them that scans the entire sky or a big chunk of the sky. And so every night it's looking at a big chunk of the sky and it's looking for new lights. And occasionally it sees new lights in the sky and they sometimes are comets. So also they can be supernova events. They can be, there's a whole bunch of reasons why there's lights in the sky. We call them transient events. Generally, they're things like, you know, supernova, could be near Earth objects like asteroids whizzing past. And so this network's looking for these things. So occasionally, anyway, it sees a comet, and it's one of the big comet discoverers. ATLAS is the other system that discovers a lot of comets. Again, it's looking for near Earth objects, so asteroids. And so between ATLAS and Pan-STARRS, they tend to be
they're the death of everybody else trying to discover.
Yeah, trying to look for comets because they're powerful telescopes. So they're, you know, meter-sized telescopes on mountains, and they're scanning a big chunk of the sky.
Like, until now, you could put your name on something. People would like watch comets and tiny little things that would appear in the sky. But now it's
famous. Comet hunters in New Zealand, we've got Albert Jones from Nelson. He built his own telescope and he was found lots of things, asteroids or near-Earth objects and comets, of course. We've got Alan Gilmore and Pam Kilmartin. They're now based in Tekapo. They've been looking at the night sky for decades and they've got a lot of comets named to them. So they're probably the two biggest comet hunters in New Zealand.
In New Zealand, yeah.
Yeah, so.
And of course, New Zealand was very famous in the 1800s because we had grand, great comets up in the sky. And so a lot of people from the Northern Hemisphere were coming here to just look at this wonderful night sky that we have on top of all these comets that were peppering the night sky.
And it's probably a good time to talk about lights in the night sky because there was discussions, you know, a couple of weeks ago about the lights in the sky. There's a lot of lights. So we'll just talk about the kinds of lights you see. Rather than try and name what they are, we'll just talk about the lights you see. So, right, there's a whole lot of lights in the sky, little dots that appear to move all together through the course of the night, right? So
yeah.
Those ones, they're easy.
Yeah.
We can name those ones, actually. They're stars, they're the obvious ones.
Yeah.
Other really bright things you see in the night sky, well, the moon is the other obvious one. And that changes shape.
Very bright.
It's very bright. It appears to move with the stars. It does actually move a little bit different than the stars, but you know, roughly night by night, it sort of appears to move with the stars. It'll rise 50 minutes later every day, so you will notice the difference each day by day. Other stuff you see in the sky. What else do you see in the sky? Well, comets. We've talked a little bit about comets in New Zealand. New Zealanders have discovered them. Comets tend to be fuzzy, faint, difficult to see. Very, very occasionally there'll be an incredibly bright one you can see.
And very cute.
Yeah, they look cute. They have big tails sometimes. And they move night by night. So you'll see them change position night by night as well. And some of them can be incredibly impressive. Like, you know, a couple of decades ago, was that big one, McNaught, was it? Yeah.
McNaught, yeah, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was huge. other stuff you see at night, aeroplanes, they tend to flash. They'll have red and green flashing lights. And here in the Wairarapa, where we tend to see those will be along the mountains, because that's most of the air routes are that way from where we are. Occasionally, you'll see the Life Flight coming into Hood Aerodrome. You'll see that occasionally. We're not really under any major air routes that go overseas, so very seldom do you see an aeroplane flying, heading off overseas. People in other parts of the country, like Christchurch, that's a major international airport, so they'll see aeroplanes coming in and go. In fact, a lot of aeroplanes and stuff, going past, going down to Dunedin and so on. And of course, if you live in Auckland, you'll see loads and loads of aeroplanes as well. What else do we see? Well, satellites. Satellites are the big one. Satellites are what we see a lot of now. And they're a bit new to people because we haven't seen the volume of satellites that we see now ever before.
Yeah, and they look weird.
They do, yeah.
They have all sorts of orbits. They have what we call, some of them have polar orbits. Some of them have polar orbits that are going over our polar region here at the circumpolar part of the sky. So you don't see those often, but sometimes we see them crossing the spaces in between the Southern Cross and the Magellanic Clouds.
Mm. So most ones we're seeing are low Earth orbit
satellites. But most satellites we see at just after sunset, that's when we see them, and we see them in the western part of the sky, and just before sunrise, that's when we see them.
Yeah, and you'll see them for an hour, hour and a half after sunset or before sunrise. And you see them all over the sky earlier in the evening. And then, of course, just before sunrise, you see them all over the sky. So the most prominent one you see is the space station, the International Space Station. That's the brightest one. So if you see quite a bright light whizzing across the sky, taking about 3 minutes or so to go across the sky, it's probably the International Space Station. The other option is the Chinese space station, the Tiangong. So that's a little bit less bright. It's a smaller structure. It's about a third of the size.
But still really, really bright.
Yeah, it's about a third of the size, and it has three astronauts in it.
And the space stations, they move in a very particular way. They're really bright, and you see them covering most of the sky. So when we look at the space station, unless they're on a very low angle, we can see them through the sky, just following their way. And there's even a formula that you can use to see, you can measure how long it takes for those tiny lights of these satellites to move through the sky. You can calculate the angular measurement, how long it takes, for example, to go over your fist that you hold at arm's length up into the sky. It's a number of seconds per a number of degrees of a circle. And then there's a tiny little formula that you can use to estimate how high they are. So this has been our latest sport.
Basically, you hold your fist up, you extend your arm out as far as it goes, no bending of the elbow, put it up on the sky, cover up a bit of the sky, and then just count as best you can and accurately as you can. Seconds, you got to keep your hands still, of course, that's a bit tricky. And for a satellite to go sort of across your hand or your fist, and that's because that's 10 degrees. Pick a satellite that's going like straight above you. And then, count how long it takes to go across your hand. And that'll give you an angular velocity. So that'll be degrees per second you get. So if it takes, 15 seconds to go through your hand, that's 10 degrees in 15 seconds. And you can use that to give you an estimate of how high the satellite is. Now, generally, you're going to get a figure somewhere between 500 kilometers and 1,000 kilometers. Most of the satellites are between.
That we can see.
Yeah. Most of them are 500 to 1,000 kilometers above the surface of the Earth. Now, why do we see satellites? Why do we see them?
Why do we see them? We see them because sunlight reflects in their structure, in their solar panels, if they have anything into their body.
So basically,
it's the same reason why we see everything on this planet of ours and in this universe. We see them because energy, radiation, light in our case, gets reflected from, bounces into all of these objects that we call matter. And so that's how we see.
So the important thing is stars make their own light. Planets reflect light. Generally,
Moons
they make
reflect
a bit
light.
of their own infrared, but you can't see that with your eyes. The moon is reflecting light. The comets are reflecting light. We see them because they're reflecting light. Asteroids reflect light. Shooting stars that you see zipping across the atmosphere, they're actually making their own light as they
They make
burn
their own
up.
light, yeah.
So that they're releasing a lot of energy as they hit the upper Earth's atmosphere and vaporize.
Yeah.
So that's another light you'll see, are these flashes that whiz across the sky really fast,
Yeah.
and they're generally little tiny rocks. Some of them, most of them actually tiny, like
Like a pebble.
sand grain
Sand
sort of
grains, yeah.
size. Yeah.
Yeah.
The ones that are a fist size, they are enormous and they light up the whole sky and are very, very impressive. Very, very rare to see those.
Yeah.
So that's those things that make, and the satellites don't have lights on them, so because there's no point in having a light on a satellite, because what are you illuminating so the satellite can see? They don't have any of their own lighting. They don't need it. They have sensors and radios and things for the job that they'll put up there. The space
Yeah.
station has lights, but you're never going to see those lights from Earth. They're just too far away.
Yeah.
So the main thing we see is the sunlight reflecting off parts of the
Actually,
satellite.
we do see the space station and the telescope when we can, and you can see the solar panels, and it's really cool.
And bright too.
Yeah, really bright. So, but those are very
Yeah.
bright. Yeah.
Got to have good conditions, but yeah. So you'll see, when you see satellites, you're seeing the satellites reflecting the sun. Now, as it gets later in the evening and the sun is lower and lower and lower, so well below the horizon, the high up satellites, so the satellites are still 500K up, so that's most of them, they'll still be in the sun when we can see them in the sky. So the satellite's so high up, it's like if you stand on a big mountain, top of a mountain, after sunset for the people in the valley. The people on top of the mountain are still going to be in the sunshine, but you at the bottom of the valley, you're not,
You're not going
because
to be in this. Yeah, good comparison.
So
Well done.
imagine you're 500 kilometers up. Well, you're going to be in sunshine for a few hours after the sun has dipped down below the horizon. So what we're seeing in the evening is, if the satellite is quite a long way over the horizon, say towards the west or southwest where we are, that satellite's still going to be in sunshine. And we're going to be in nighttime. And what we're going to see is quite bright reflections from the sun. And
On
as
that angle.
on that angle, and as the satellite moves up, we're going to see that brightness change as the angle between the sun reflecting and our eyes changes. So when you look to the southwest or the west a couple of hours after sunset, and even later now, because even the higher satellites they're glinting away in the sun as well, you'll see these lights in that part of the sky that are going up. Some of them times they're going down, because it's also the satellites are going that way as
Up and
well.
down.
You'll see them on angles going diagonal. You'll see them going straight across,
But
because
most of them are in the west, southwestern side of the sky.
in the evening,
In the evening,
in the
yeah.
evening, it's the opposite in the morning. But it's and so what you'll see is those the intensity of the reflection changing over time. So they might start out very bright and then go dim, or they might go dim then bright then dim again. And also, if there's any cloud or anything down there on that horizon that you might not be able to perceive, that also the light will be going through that cloud. So what you end up seeing is actually these lights look like they're dancing on the southwestern horizon, but they're not dancing. It's just simply satellites going in straight lines. Now, the other complicating thing is the atmosphere. You're looking for a lot of atmosphere, about 300 or so kilometers of atmosphere. And the atmospheres can be a little turbulent, and of course that refracts the light. So it can actually look like these satellites, instead of going in straight lines, it looks like they're actually wobbling a bit. So they really do look like they're dancing, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And but it's really fun to watch them. And we've been looking at these satellites for a long time now. There are about 15,000, almost 15,000 satellites in the sky right now. And there are more and more and more coming. And it is quite sad, actually, that we will end up seeing a sky where the stars won't be the main attraction. There will be always peppered with some satellites. It's really, really sad. I keep thinking about this for the last, I don't know, half a year, when I keep seeing those very, very bright satellites. And but they are fun to watch. Up to a point.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it's a nice little light show. Other stuff you'll see, very occasionally, we've seen
It
it.
launches from Rocket Lab.
Yeah, we've seen this. Well, yeah, actually, yeah, related to rocket. There's two types of rocket launches you'll see. One is the actual rocket launching. We've seen that now 3 times.
Three
So
times.
from Mahia Peninsula, which is a couple hundred K away from us, up to the north, east, we've seen launches there from Star Safari. So and it's just very bright yellow light or yellowy orange light. Getting higher in the sky faster and faster and faster, and then it sort of disappears as it runs out of fuel, and they change over to the second stage.
The strangest light I've ever seen in the sky was one night. We were looking up at the sky, and it was a little bit cloudy, and we saw this light, big blobby light,
It diffused,
literally
wasn't
diffuse
it?
blobby light going horizontally through the night sky from
West to east.
west to east. And I was so excited. I was like, yes, finally,
The aliens are
the
here.
aliens are here. And it turned out to be the biggest disappointment. It was only the second stage of a Chinese launched
Rocket.
of a Chinese rocket, second stage. So it was just yeah,
Was a long march, wasn't
Long
it?
March, yeah. And that repeated a few days ago with another second stage from another rocket
Yeah, just recently, I think it
recently.
might have been 2 weeks ago
Yeah.
now. Yeah, and that was widely seen across New Zealand. In
Yeah.
fact, a year ago, there was another, or might have been longer, there was another one that was widely seen in New Zealand. Now, I saw the Ariane rocket, this was a few months ago, and that one was fast. It didn't last long. That was only up in the sky for about 2 or 3 minutes. And that was actually had a spiral shape to it, which was quite cool. So I
Yes,
managed to get a
yeah.
photo of it, a very dodgy photo with my
The
phone.
telescope?
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was pretty
That was
cool.
pretty cool. Yeah.
So we've seen two of them now, which is
Yeah.
quite cool. So they're pretty rare to see because the second stage rocket has to be basically flying over New Zealand, obviously in the right conditions to see
Yeah.
it. But what you're seeing at is you're seeing the rocket plume. So the rocket engine's like throwing stuff out the rocket pretty quick and pretty fast and pretty hot. But up in space, because it's a vacuum, instead of the material basically going straight out the rocket, it goes out in a big fan.
Yeah.
And so what we're seeing, of course, is the result of that, the exhaust plume of these
Yeah.
rockets, and it's big spirally shape. Sometimes they're just big blobs.
But it is fun to watch.
They're quite cool.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of lights you see in the sky. So other things that you see, incredibly rare, supernova. So when a star blows up, the last one we saw, we haven't seen it, but the last one in our galaxy was about 400 years ago, so
1980, you
1600.
should have seen it. You were here, right? 1987, you were here.
Oh, that wasn't our galaxy though.
Well, it was the
Nearby.
nearby.
So in the Large Magellanic Cloud, and of course that was Albert Jones who spotted that.
Yep.
Supernova
87, eh?
1987A. Yep. We saw one in a distant galaxy. I can't remember the name of the galaxy, but that was Supernova 2024 GGI.
Yeah. So imagine a person. Then this is for like just the normal person, right? Who's not a stargazer, who doesn't look up at the sky, but you're aware of there are lights in the sky at night, and they're there, and sometimes we recognize the Southern Cross or whatever, the Big Dipper. But imagine a person, like a human being, who goes out on the porch from his house, looks up at the sky, and says, that light shouldn't be there.
An unusual light, yes.
Imagine that person. Yeah, I think pretty amazing. Like
Yeah.
I know a lot of stars, but not all of them yet. But imagine after so many years observing the sky to be able to say that light shouldn't be there. Well, one of those people is Alan Gilmore and Pam Kilmartin, two of them, and the other person was Albert Jones.
Yeah, well, they knew the sky
Oh,
so well then.
so well.
Yeah.
So these are my hero, like my heroes. That's what I want to be like when I grow up.
But rest assured, the lights in the sky, they have an explanation. Every light in the sky has an explanation. There's nothing up there that doesn't have a reasonable and a plausible explanation. We just might not know it initially, especially if if you're sitting in your spa pool at night and looking up, you might not know the explanation. As we've found in history, the explanation is plausible. So, no need to worry too much about alien invasion. Most of the lights have a, in fact, all of the lights have a reasonable explanation. We just might not know what they are initially, but someone will. There'll be an expert somewhere that knows exactly what they are.
And just to put things in perspective, the nearest solar system to us is 43 trillion kilometers away.
Which is a long way.
And you did that online sim where you can actually put the name of the star on our website on Space We're Bound.
Yeah.
You did a, Sam did a really cool webpage where you can say where you go to which star and how fast you fly there, how many years it will take, and how much energy it will take to get there. And right now, with the not with the technology, but we have to, that we have today, but with the technology plus the laws of physics, which don't change if you go to another part of our galaxy, they're all the same. The laws of chemistry are all the same. In Andromeda Galaxy, 1 + 1 = 2. Still, same periodic table. Same gravity, same everything. And so with the laws of physics and the technology that we have today, a trip to the nearest solar system, Alpha Centauri, would be about 40,000 years.
Yeah.
Now, we have looked at things around Alpha Centauri. There is a planet, we think it is, we think it's been confirmed. And it's very tiny. We haven't observed any radio waves coming from that, also known as technosignatures. And in fact, our charitable trust, the New Zealand Astrobiology Network Trust, we just recently hosted Megan Lee from the US, from SETI, which SETI stands for Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. So we hosted her as she was doing a presentation for New Zealand schools to try and get them into citizen science to help her measure possible technosignatures that we detect in space with observatories, with satellites. So then someone needs to look at that data, and probably one of the best bunch of people would be the students in high schools.
Yes.
At colleges. And so so we had that. And yeah, we would love if more people would get involved with such projects. Website to go and find out more about how you can find technosignatures is called Zooniverse. So Zoo, Z-O-O, Universe, Zooniverse, because, you know, there's a Zooniverse out there. So we would love to see more people getting involved, helping out, measuring, and maybe one day we will see those aliens.
Or not. Wow, so that's the end of another Wise Space. So clear skies, everyone.
And we look forward to seeing you at Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star Safari.